And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome in, Bucks fans, to another exhilarating episode of RBLR Bucks, your premier podcast dedicated to our cherished Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm your co-host, Musab, and tonight we are embarking on an electrifying journey with the Pod Squad. And sure, we've faced some turbulent waves looking at you, Falcons game. But overall, it's been a seamless and enjoyable expedition, especially following that remarkable win this past Sunday, 51-27. But more importantly, listeners, I hope you and your family are safe and sound after this hurricane. I know this has been a trying time for many of us, and I want you to know that our thoughts are with you. If you're in need of assistance, please don't hesitate to reach out to your local emergency management offices, faith-based organizations, or your local government agencies. We're all out here to support you. And remember, you are not alone. We are all in this together. But also, I want to let you know this. If you're having a tough day, keep in mind this. The Saints racked up 27 points in a single quarter and then just vanished. Well, the good vibes are abundant around the podcast table. And yeah, I guess we have some choppy waters ahead. The boys in Baltimore, yeah, they got some formidable runners. But I'll tell you this, they don't have Sean Tucker, they don't have Bucky Irving, they don't have Rashad White, and more importantly, they certainly don't have the man with the plan, my co-host, Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, what's the good word, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. Yeah, hope everyone, like you said, hope everyone's doing all right. Hope everyone's safe from this hurricane. Hope we're able to provide some kind of, you know, just an easy kind of laid back sort of distraction perhaps from the tough times that we've been experiencing here in Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean, it's a good time to be a Bucks fan. You know, they had like you mentioned, that tremendous win, the 51-27 victory over the Saints. It was, that second quarter had me feeling a little bit nervous, no lie.
Yeah.
Like Musab said, that 27 points that they gave up like that was, I don't like thinking about that. But the rest of it, my goodness, I mean, you couldn't have really done any better if you're the Bucks, on both sides of the ball, to be quite honest. Obviously, the 36-30 and the loss, it was pretty rough. You know, it was borderline a bit embarrassing because, you know, the Bucks offensively were looking great, but man, that defense got picked apart by Kirk Cousins. So we'll kind of start there, just because, you know, we haven't been here in over a week. It's been a little bit. Two games have happened since our last episode. So I figured we'd start with the sort of the Falcons game and transition into the Saints game. Was there anything that went wrong in the Falcons game that you were a little bit concerned that would carry over to the Saints game, Musab?
I mean, the only thing I was really worried about is, first of all, I mean, our DBs were just getting cooked out there. I mean, Kirk Cousins, yeah, racked up 509 yards. I mean, it just looked really ugly for us. And I feel like at first when I was watching the game, it was kind of something I didn't think too much about because it was kind of a back and forth kind of game overall. You know, yes, it, you know, pissed me off when, you know, they would get a deep ball or Darnell Mooney would rack up a touchdown or something like that. But, you know, we were still in it. But the only thing that I was worried about was just the way we kind of finished off our fourth quarter, just the way we executed that. And
yeah,
the only thing that I was, you know, kind of fearful of is, well, first of all, we still got some guys who are banged up. So I was thinking, you know, there could be a chance that the Saints game could be close. Clearly it wasn't, but yeah, the only thing that scared me was just the way, you know, the Falcons were able to kind of catch up. You know, they got that field goal and then boom, overtime happened. It was just absolutely poor tackling more than anything, especially in that fourth quarter. Just overall embarrassing, honestly. I just feel like the last couple minutes in that game just didn't go our way at all. We were just looking off, really. I mean, there was really no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the end of that fourth quarter, my goodness. And the missed tackles were nasty. I mean, that was a bit concerning. I know it's a Thursday night game. You typically just kind of want to let that wash over. But it was definitely something that I was like, oh, man, this Saints team has some dynamic playmakers. You know, you think about Shaheed and Chris Olave, who unfortunately both got injured Sunday afternoon. So thankfully for the Bucks, at least they didn't have to deal with them too much. But hopefully they're going to be okay moving forward. But yeah, I was a bit concerned about that. And the Bucky Irving fumble was kind of tough. I mean, he picked a a heck of a time to have his first professional fumble. So there were certainly some negatives that I was a little bit concerned about moving forward, but also you kind of, like I said, you kind of got to flush that down the drain with a weird Thursday night game. All those games are just so weird because, you know, shortened week, condensed playbook, all the cliches that you hear from coaches when they have to answer questions about the Thursday night matchups. But there were some positives to take away from that game. Obviously, I think the biggest positive was the offense. I mean, my goodness, they really picked apart that Falcons defense, which the Falcons, you know, they got some playmakers in that secondary. There are certainly no slouches out there. Matthew Judon, the newly traded pass rusher, he's a really solid outside linebacker, you know, slash edge rusher. And then they got Jesse Bates, AJ Terrell. They've got some really good players on that defense. So the fact that the Bucs were able to put up 30 on them was really impressive. Obviously didn't end the way that they wanted to, but I think that momentum offensively kind of carried over, you know, because then the Bucs went off. They had a 51-point game. I mean, that's a rare thing. They ran for over 200 yards. I mean, that hadn't happened since the Doug Martin days. You know, that's a long time for the Bucs to go without a 200-yard game, but it happened, and it happened without Rashad White, which does some damage to my Rashad White narratives, but, you know, that's okay. I'd rather see the Bucs just have a good running game. But what are your thoughts on the running game? Do you think this is kind of just a departure from the norm? Do you maybe expect this positive trend to continue? Maybe they figured something out. What were your thoughts on the Bucs running game and how they can perform moving forward?
I think it's just going to get better and better. Hopefully it's at least going to be as it is now. I don't think we're going to, you know, go on some kind of decline. I mean, I want to give a shout out to Liam Cohen as well. I mean, just overall, our offense has been looking so much better than it did before. And you know, we were making franchise records out there, actually. I believe we racked up like 172 rushing yards just in the fourth quarter, which was just nuts. And
yeah, that's insane.
Just on top of that, I mean, I feel like now, I guess it kind of opens up my eyes a little bit, but I feel like maybe everyone's eyes, that, you know, we kind of got a little trio action going on now with Sean Tucker also balling out. And I don't know, the vibe that I'm kind of thinking is, you know, I was looking for kind of that big dog power back something. And I feel like maybe Sean Tucker can kind of fill up that spot a little bit for me. I feel like every single one of these guys brings something different to the table. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about the Bucks, like, oh, Bucky Irving's on a power back, and lo and behold, Sean Tucker's the power guy that they have. You know what I mean? It's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Liam Cohen as well. That's just a great shout out, because Dave Canales last year, he had a wonderful first year as offensive coordinator, but he also had some flaws. He also had some severe lacking when it comes to the running game. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned over 170 yards in a single quarter. I don't know about you, man, but I can't remember the last time the Bucs had 170 yards in a game. Yeah. So I mean, it's depressing in one way, but also incredibly encouraging. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see, I think Greg Allman mentioned this on Twitter a little bit. They're probably going to run a lot more two running back sets. And that just gets me so excited, because my goodness, I love watching those, you know, Rashad White and Bucky Irving on the field at the same time, or Sean Tucker and whoever else, because Sean Tucker was able to haul in some catches. I think he had a touchdown reception as well. Yeah, just to have three guys that can not only produce, you know, obviously getting the ball handed to them, but also can run some routes, run some screenplays. Just having three versatile backs, that's never going to be a bad thing. You can never have enough depth. But shifting our focus to the wide receivers, because, you know, the running backs were the stars of the show this past Sunday, but the receivers, obviously, two of the best in football. And Dan Orlovsky, excuse me, my goodness, had to sneeze there. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, he's kind of a famous talking head out there. He had a segment with featuring Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and he talked about them as being one of the best wide receiving duos in the NFL this season. And I wanted to get your thoughts, Mr. Tree, because going into this season, I think we all figured, you know, Mike Evans, a really solid receiver, Chris Godwin, a really solid number two. But I got to say, I'm kind of with them. You know, they've been really productive, and given a lot of these other teams have had quarterback struggles. But what are your thoughts? Where do you put the Bucs wide receiver duo in terms of ranking them amongst other NFL duos?
I think they're definitely up there. I mean, from the top of my head. I don't know if I want to give them a specific, you know, ranking number, but
right, absolutely.
I could say, you know, tell me what you think. I would say, I mean, definitely top 10 for sure. If easily top 10, yeah. I could squeeze them in top 5, and you know, maybe this is just kind of my thought, but I feel like maybe we never thought about this when Jameis Winston was our quarterback. We never thought about any any wide receiver, you know, core being a dynamic duo. And then obviously Brady makes anyone look good. So everyone's all kind of, you know, high and on, you know, Mike Evans and Godwin and everyone really. I mean, so we got Baker now, and I feel like slowly, I feel like people are, you know, giving Baker more respect. I feel like he's kind of showing everyone that, you know, he's the Bucs quarterback. He's the real deal. You know, he's not a journeyman anymore. You know, this is his last stop. I don't know, hopefully, but I think for that reason, I mean, I have no reason as to why, first of all, why anyone, you know, does not give Mike Evans the respect, you know, he deserves, you know, just how consistent he's been. And then on top of that, Godwin's always been there. And especially this season, I mean, this guy's balling out for sure. So they are a big threat for sure. And they're definitely up there.
Yeah, I mean, the only teams that I could think of off the top of my head that I could maybe be in competition with them was just Miami and Philly, obviously, and then San Francisco and Cincinnati. But that pretty much puts the Bucs at number 5. And honestly, the way that San Francisco has been playing with Debo and Brandon Ayuk, you could maybe make the argument that Evans and Godwin have been more productive. Miami's tough to judge because they've been dealing with backups instead of Tua, and Philadelphia just hasn't been healthy. So, you know, some of these teams get mulligans. But, yeah, the Bucs are probably a solid top 5 inclusion in that sort of discussion. And it's a really cool feature that Orlovsky did on ESPN. I'd recommend checking it out. It's on his Twitter page. I mean, ESPN talking about the Bucs, like, that doesn't happen very much, so I figured we'd want to highlight it a little bit. But two players that we wanted to highlight, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball, our players of the game from this past week. Sean Tucker is the offensive player of the game. I mean, he was, I think, the FedEx Ground Player of the Week for the NFL. I think that's the name of the award. Whatever it is, he was the voted for that category. And, yeah, it's hard to ignore. I mean, he had a really, really productive game. Give me your thoughts on Sean Tucker from this past weekend.
Oh, I mean, where do I start? I feel like this has been something we've been talking about for a while, you know, during the offseason or even in the preseason. You know, it's like, oh, you know, Sean Tucker's looking good. You know, hopefully we can utilize him, blah, blah, blah. I feel like a lot of people have been saying that. But to finally see, you know, him actually do really well. And, I mean, when we needed him most, you know, I really thought that Bucky was kind of just going to dominate the show. You know, it was his kind of time to shine. And he still did well, but yeah, the fact that Sean Tucker came in here and, you know, showed us what he has, I mean, it was amazing. You know, the guy racked up receiving yards as well, 56 receiving yards, 136 rushing yards. I mean, he was everywhere. I got a lot of buddies of mine on fantasy asking me, who is Sean Tucker? You know, do I need to pick up this guy on the waiver wire? So I hope he, you know, is as consistent, and I hope he still gets those reps as he should. But I gotta say, it's this running back room's definitely interesting competitive. I don't know. I guess it's like, you know, they're all different. It's like, you know, it's like choosing between three different guns. You know what I'm saying? You know, which gun do you need? Do you need the pistol, the shotgun, or do you need the rifle? You know? So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good problem to have, because going into this season, I think the running back room and the secondary were probably the two relative question marks for the Bucs going into this year, as well as the offensive line. But the running back room is, I don't want to call it a strength. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves. I feel like I'm going to say that and then put it out into the universe, and then they're going to have a stinker this weekend. So I'm not going to put that out there. But my goodness, they played really well this past Sunday, and Sean Tucker was arguably the biggest star of them all, which, like you said, Bucky Irving, he's been great too. And he was great Sunday. So it's just outstanding to see both of them Sunday and all three of them throughout the season really go out and succeed. But on the other side of the ball, you know, the Bucks defense, they gave up 27 points in the second quarter, but not all of it was their fault. There was a punt return for a touchdown. There was some offensive mistakes. Baker had 3 interceptions. I mean, it was brutal. So it really wasn't them giving up 27 points, but Zion McCollum, he had himself another just fantastic performance. He's been one of the best cornerbacks in football. I mean, this is just another really, really just strangely pleasant surprise, because Zion McCollum, like, we were calling for the Bucks to sign a veteran. We were saying, oh, they need more depth. They need more outside corners. And Jason Light was like, nah, y'all just got to wait and see. And sure enough, Zion McCollum has come out, and he's been fantastic. So it's just been a joy to watch him do his thing. He's one of the most athletic players in the NFL, really. He was coming out of college, but the big question obviously was, hey, can he play corner? You know, there are a lot of great athletes out there. That doesn't mean that they'll necessarily be good at a certain position, but he has certainly taken those talents and put it all together this year. What are your thoughts on Zion McCollum's performance against the Saints this past weekend?
Great. I mean, you know, honestly, I'm really happy to see what he's, you know, what he's been doing for us this season so far. And I feel like, and I, from what I remember this offseason, I was more worried about him compared to Jamel Dean, but I think it's the other way now. You know, I'm more worried about Jamel Dean. You know, I think Jamel Dean's closer to the chopping block than Zion McCollum. Zion McCollum's, I mean, he's helping us out big time right now. The acrobatic interception he got us. And I think what I find most important is that he has shown us that he's shown us what he's capable of doing. You know, he's shown us that he's capable of being a, you know, a star DB. He's capable of showing that, you know, we can count on him. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, you know, he's still a young guy. You know, he's still learning. Well, of course, he's always learning. But I mean, in my opinion, I just think he's just going to get better and better. I mean, sure, is he going to have a bad game here and there? I mean, that's just, yeah, sure. I mean, that's that happens to everyone. But I'm honestly, you know, feeling very optimistic about him, you know, for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, that pick that he had off of Raheem Shaheed, I mean, Shaheed's one of the fastest players in football, and he was just able to catch up with him, you know, and then made that, like you said, the diving the jumping acrobatic catch. I mean, that's just really impressive work, really impressive ball skills. And like you said, you know, it's the cornerback position. That position just experiences such a volatility in regards of production. Like, a lot of it's like, hey man, those wide receivers are darn hard to cover. You know, it's not always going to be, like you say, sunshine and rainbows at the cornerback position, regardless of how good they are. So, you know, it's nice to see him have this great season and show that maybe his true talent level is a bit higher than the sixth round grade that a lot of NFL teams gave him, or fifth round grade, excuse me. That's when he was drafted. It's just been so really so fun to watch Zion McCollum go out there and prove all of us wrong. I don't think any of us really saw him being as productive as he has been. Some people were high on him, but I don't know that anyone's was quite this high. But Zion McCollum, he's been great. So if you're looking for a great cause to donate to, if you're able to, obviously the hurricane has affected all of us in a great way and has affected the Bay Area, and it's been awful to watch. So if you're able to, head to redcross.org. You can donate to the Red Cross Hurricane Relief Fund. You can help out those in need. So head on over. We've got the link in the description, and you can go there, and then they've got it all set up where you can donate. So if you're able to, it's a wonderful cause to donate to, for sure. But looking forward, we've got the Ravens coming up this week for the Bucks. That should be a lot of fun. It's a Monday night football game, so you can watch the Manning cast if that's your thing, or whatever the case may be. Monday night football is always fun. I always have a blast when the Bucks play Monday night football, obviously, and they're playing Lamar Jackson, which, good gracious, he's one of the most exciting players in football, him and Jaden Daniels. Him and Jane, speaking of, they dueled it out this past weekend. The Commanders and the Ravens played each other. Lamar came out on top. The Ravens came out on top. You know, a lot of people kind of were making those comparisons, and it was kind of one of those, like, a Chrysler looks like a Bentley until a Bentley pulls up types of things. And that's kind of what happens. Not that Jaden Daniels played poorly. He was great. But, so that was kind of an interesting storyline to monitor. And we'll focus on the injuries at first for this game because, you know, Graham Barton was out this past week, and obviously Antoine Winfield Jr. had been out. He made his return, but hopefully the Bucks are kind of healthy. Graham Barton, I'm not sure if he'll be healthy this Monday. Hopefully the extra week will give him a little bit of a break, but we'll see. That's certainly something to monitor. But we'll focus on Sean Tucker first because in regards to the actual game, because, you know, Rashad White might be coming back. So if Rashad White does come back, do you expect Tucker to be more involved after his great performance Sunday?
I hope so, but it just, I don't know. I mean, Probably just a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that Sean Tucker is just going to completely take, you know, Rashad White's spot. Of course not, just after one good game. But I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, now we have so many options. You got three running backs, and I mean, now we, you know, now we're thinking about our pass game as well. You got two amazing wide receivers. So, I mean, the ball's got to go around. So, I think he'll hopefully he'll get a little bit of his share, maybe more depending on how he does. But I think so, a little bit.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to see if the Bucs use him maybe as the traditional first/second down back, and then they jog White and Bucky out there for the third down plays, or maybe for passing/running plays, you know, because a lot of the, like we mentioned, like I mentioned earlier in the episode, a lot of people are excited to see them come out in those two running back sets, and then maybe, you know, line up one of them the wide receiver position, because Rashad White is such a prolific pass catcher. So maybe they shift him out to the slot. Maybe they motion him out there. The Bucs have been great about utilizing motion in this offense, which is just such a welcome sight, especially after all those years under Leftwich, who, you know, he had some very good strengths, but motion, incorporating that type of thing into his offense, was not one of them. So Liam Cohen's been doing a great job in that regard. And I'd anticipate with Tucker performing the way he did, it just gives him, you know, more creativity, more spaces to get creative with this offense. So that'll be something really interesting to monitor. But another sort of skill position battle that I thought was interesting was Sterling Shepard. He's kind of emerging as the, I don't want to say clear wide receiver three, but he certainly took quite a bit of snaps on Sunday. And I wanted to, what are you thinking? Where's your head at with him, you know, Sterling Shepard versus the rookie Jalen McMillan, who after a solid first game, he's, you know, he got injured. He had the hamstring thing. He's fallen off a little bit. What are your thoughts on Shepard versus J-Mac?
You know, I'll probably say they're going to be leaning Shepard, and I guess I'd lean a little bit Shepard. I'm kind of, you know, in between, just because not that it's actually related to his performance, but sometimes Shepard just bugs out a little bit. You know, he kind of just spazzes out, and that kind of just irritates me. And I don't know. It just, you know, like, it's just kind of weird, but at the end of the day, I mean, he gets the job done. I mean, he's been helping us out for sure. You know, when all eyes are on Godwin and Evans, you know, it's nice to have, you know, a reliable wide receiver three, you know, who can, you know, kind of help him out whenever possible. And I mean, you know, the ball was shared around, you know, even with other guys too. Like, for example, Ryan Miller even racked up a big catch as well. So, but that being said, I'd say they're probably just going to keep on, you know, doing what they do with Sterling Shepard. I think he'll definitely get his reps in for sure. They'll probably give the, you know, the rookie a little bit more time, but I don't think they're just going to completely just keep him off the field either. Again, this is just going to come down to, you know, options as well. You know, it's the same thing that kind of happened. I kind of a little bit of the same vibe with the whole Sean Tucker situation, you know, with White sitting out. Tucker balls out, and Bucker. Then, you know, with
I like that.
Bucker, yeah, Bucker, oh wow, yeah, but and then, yeah, well, you know, when McMillan's you know, off the field, you know, Sterling Shepard helps us out, so it's getting mad competitive, so but I'd have to lean Shepard, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think the snap count kind of plays it out. The coaching staff, whether it's a comfort level thing or maybe they just want more experience on the field, Shepard seems to be their preferred wide receiver three, given McMillan just some time to figure some stuff out. Maybe he can learn some things from Shepard, obviously, under Mike Evans and Chris Godwin as well. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see how that plays out. But also, like, you know, with the emergence of Tucker, I think a lot of these two running back sets might – play Shepard off the field, where they run the two running backs, a tight end, and then obviously Evans and Godwin. Or maybe they sub Kate Otten out a few more times, because goodness gracious, he could certainly use a break every now and then. He's kind of their only tight end right now. Him and Payne Durham, I guess. But, like, how much do you really want to rely on Payne Durham? Unfortunately, probably not a lot. So, yeah, I do think that Shepard plays a significant role. Obviously, he had some experience with Baker from their time at Oklahoma together. So I think that aspect of it is also super interesting as well. But, you know, they signed him, and I figured that they'd allow him to compete for that wide receiver three spot. So I was a bit surprised that they started the season with him on the practice squad. So I'm happy to see that he's been getting some run and getting some chances. But obviously, like you said, he had, I think it was a unsportsmanlike or maybe a unnecessary run. I'm not sure what the specific penalty was, but I do remember the play where he just kind of it seemed like he just kind of lost his cool there for a second. And it was just, it was very strange to see for sure. But yeah, that's going to happen sometimes. You know, he seems to be an emotional guy. What wears his emotions on his sleeve. I think Baker said that he would describe him as crazy, and vice versa. Shepard would probably say the same thing about him.
I remember I heard that actually. Yeah. I've seen Shepard kind of spaz out a little bit even after the play.
Right.
Someone would touch his arm, and you know, those guys were like, "You get off me! Don't touch me!" You know,
right,
those kind of people. So I've seen that a little bit, but whatever. I mean, if as long as he's, you know, getting yardage and getting touchdowns for us, I guess it doesn't really matter.
For sure. And like, to be a wide NFL wide receiver, I feel like you kind of have to have a couple of screws loose at least. Cause you know, you're dealing with not getting the ball. There are so many things that are just out of your control that you might have to be a little bit crazy, a little bit wild sometimes in order to survive, in order to continue to play that position at a high level. So yeah, that's all right. You got to have a little bit of quirkiness, so shall we say, on your team sometimes. But I wanted to give a little stat, a little shout out to some stats here for this Ravens Bucks matchup. A little statistical preview: the Ravens and the Bucks, you know, they both share some similarities in regards to the to some strengths and weaknesses. I thought this was kind of an interesting thing. The Ravens are second in explosive pass percentage, but the Bucks defensively are 26th in explosive pass percentage allowed, and the Bucks are third in explosive pass percentage on offense, and the Ravens are 32nd in explosive pass percentage allowed. So basically both teams great with their offenses passing the ball, but horrible in pass defense, which I just thought was kind of interesting. The Ravens had Mike McDonald last year as their defensive coordinator. He's now the head coach in Seattle. He did a fantastic job with that group. Perhaps there's been a bit of a fall off there since he's left. I figured I'd just throw that out there. But are there any key matchups that you're looking for in this game, Musa? Maybe Evans versus kind of Marlon Humphrey. I think he's going to be active against – or Humphrey might line up against Godwin. I don't know. Or maybe they'll have Kyle Hamilton out there. But are there any key matchups that you're looking for in this Bucks-Ravens game?
I mean, yeah, our DB room is just overall just so – I guess mysterious or something. So I mean, to be honest, I won't be surprised if we get cooked here and there. Hopefully not the whole game, and hopefully for not the majority of the game. I mean, for our guys, yeah. I mean, they're going to try to lock down Evans and Godwin for sure. But I'm more worried about Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Just the way. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, it was our first game, but I mean, it just made me kind of a little queasy or slash nervous when, you know, we had Jaden Daniels just, you know, toying around with us, you know? So it's the same thing. I feel like it could happen, you know, with Lamar Jackson. And then on top of that, I mean, yeah, Derrick Henry, I just hope we're able to stop him, find some way to stop him. I mean, we got guys like Vita Vea, you know, who can, you know, definitely get in the way for sure. But I got to say, our D-line has definitely stepped it up. I feel like they're getting, you know, better game by game. I think more than anything, we're just going to have to, you know, be super dominant. But I mean, I don't know. I'm really worried just about Lamar Jackson. You know, sure, you know, we can find ways to, you know, stop Derrick Henry here and there. I mean, he's still a force to be reckoned with. But, you know, the only thing that's I'm worried about when it comes to Lamar Jackson is not that, yeah, sure, he'll get this yardage or whatever, but it's just that, you know, the Ravens are just going to keep on grinding it out. They're going to exhaust our defense. You know what I'm saying? When we really need to stop them on that third down, or hell, even the fourth down, oh, there comes Lamar Jackson, racks up a couple yards, boom, back to first down. You know,
right.
And I'm really scared that that might happen over and over again throughout this game we have against the Ravens. So that's the big thing I'm looking at is, you know, hopefully our third down defense is, you know, top tier. Hell, even fourth down, because you know, I think the Falcons had a couple fourth down opportunities against us. I think they were 2 for 3 in their fourth down efficiency. So again, I mean, you know, those things, it's a bummer because, you know, you're so hyped and you feel like, okay, we're gonna get that turnover, and then boom, you know, now it's a first down. So we got to be careful, really. You know, we got to be even careful with the penalties as well, because this one's gonna be a tough one.
Yeah, absolutely. Lamar, I mean, my goodness, I don't know that there's a way to stop him. I don't know that there's a way to slow him down, but the Bucks will surely try. You know, I know that Todd Bowles loves to get some cook up some kind of interesting defensive philosophies, some interesting defensive game plans. I'll be really curious to see what they do against Lamar and Derrick Henry. And like you mentioned, I mean, just the fact that they're going to have to try to tackle Derrick Henry for four quarters, that's really hard to do. Like, Derrick Henry's a massive human being, and he moves really fast, and he's really good. He's got really good vision. It's just, I don't really know. Like, you have to kind of pick your poison, I guess. I don't even know. I don't really even know what to say. But the good news is, like you said, they have Vita Vea, who can do some nice things. Levante David, obviously one of the best linebackers in football. So hopefully those two guys can try to step up and kind of limit Derrick Henry. And Kalijah Kansey's come back. And so hopefully him coming back kind of provides a boon to that defensive line. Because Logan Hall is also, you know, he's here or there. Maybe he'll have a little bit of a fun breakout game because he's really athletic and he's a bigger dude. So maybe he can kind of try to keep up with Derrick Henry / Lamar Jackson. We'll see. I don't really know if there is a solution to Lamar Jackson, to be quite honest, but that's certainly going to be a fun matchup to watch regardless of what happens, because either the Bucs win and they play really well and they play really good defense, or we get to watch Lamar Jackson do his thing, which as football fans, that's just ridiculous. So either way, I think it'll be all right. But we're reaching towards the end of our episode. But before we do, we've got a couple of segments that I want to get through. First, we'll start with the over-unders. This has become kind of a staple for our game previews. And we'll start with the point total because, you know, who knows? These are two high-profile, explosive offenses. Like I mentioned, they're both really, really good at throwing the ball. And then the Ravens also happen to have, you know, Derrick Henry. So the Ravens' offense is just so hard to stop, but so is the Bucs. So the money line is at 48.5 for total points. What are you thinking, Musab? You going over or under 48.5 for the point total?
I'm going over for sure. I mean, if we don't keep this close, I think the Ravens will run over us, and points, you know, accumulated, I think it will definitely hit, you know, over 48.5 for sure. It's definitely possible for sure. I think it's, I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm no gambler or nothing like that, but
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's looking good.
Yeah, 48.5. I was surprised. I was kind of like, wow, that, like you said, I'm not a gambler either. You know, losing money just sounds awful, but 48.5 would be an attractive over for sure. I'm definitely taking the over. You know, the Bucs have averaged 40 points by themselves over the past two games. So yeah, the idea that both of these teams just have to score, you know, 24, 30 points each, that's not super far-fetched. That's almost likely, if we're being completely honest. So yeah, I'm going to hammer that over for sure. And then the next one, Baker passing yards, I'm putting it at 275. I'm going to be honest. I think he hits the under, not necessarily by much. I think he comes close, but you know, 300 passing yards is quite a large total, even against this suspect at best Ravens secondary. They don't have an amazing pass rush either. So, you know, there are certainly reasons to hit the over, but I'm going to hit the under only ever so slightly. Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on this Baker Mayfield passing yard total?
You know what? I might actually go on the over on this one.
I was kind of
50-50 on this, but
yeah,
I'm going to have to go on the over on this. I just think that, you know, somehow he's going to make it happen. And I'll tell you this, I'm not wearing this tank for nothing. You already know. Boy Baker and Mike Evans.
Word.
Got this custom made, and you know, I had to rep it tonight for the episode. Thank so you. But on the real though, I think it's gonna be close. I don't think he's gonna rack up like 325 again, like he did against the Saints, but I think somehow he's gonna, you know, scrape that over, or if anything he might be a little under or something like that. But I don't know, Card, I'll be honest with you, this game could go completely the other way than what we expect. I hope not, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be close. Because like you said, the Bucs are great at throwing the ball, and also the Bucs, they were great against the Saints running the ball, but historically they're not a great running team, and the Ravens have Nnamdi Matabuke in the interior. They've got, you know, Roquan Smith as a linebacker. They've got a great run defense. as flawed as their pass defense can be. So, you know, there's reasons to hit this over because, you know, even if the Bucs are struggling a bit offensively, they're probably going to throw the ball quite a bit, especially if they can't run the ball. So, yeah, there are certainly reasons to hit that over, aside from the fact that Baker Mayfield's been one of the best quarterbacks in football up to this point. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And before we close out our episode, I want to get our predictions in. Give me who you think's winning and final score, Musab.
All right, I am going. Oh, I think the Ravens are going to win. I got 30-24 Ravens, and I think, you know, while it may seem like it could be close, I think that we're just going to rack up, you know, a touchdown during kind of like, I don't want to call it garbage time, but we're just gonna, you know, we'll get it in the fourth quarter or something, but. Whenever the Ravens do get the ball back, I just think they're going to control the rest of the, you know, the rest of the fourth quarter or something. That's at best of what I think is could happen. I mean, it could, you know, we could score less for sure, but I'm going to go 30-24 Ravens. Could be a shot we keep it close, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Ravens are really freaking good, you know. So it's hard to beat them at any level, but they've also been playing some really good football. They got hot. They obviously super slow start. They lost to the Raiders in week two. I mean, people were wondering, oh, what the heck's going on? Lamar's the reigning MVP. And then he was like, hey, I'm the reigning MVP. And now he's played himself back into MVP conversations again, much to the surprise of probably no one. So yeah, I also have the Ravens 34-24. Man, that Ravens offense is impressive. I was a bit skeptical about this Derrick Henry fit, just because Henry's been in such a, I don't want to call it a traditional offense, but just more of a ground and pound offense is what they were running in Tennessee, running out of the single back in the I formation. And obviously Lamar far more comfortable in the shotgun or the pistol. So I was curious to see how that's played out. And clearly they're like, hey, we're both really good. It doesn't really matter. You just need to stop worrying about that. And they've just been balling out. So, yeah, unfortunately, I've got the Ravens. They've got, you know, one of the best offenses in football, and I think their defense will be good enough to keep the Bucs offense at bay, relatively speaking. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think we're unanimous that the Ravens are going to take this one home. But, hey, crazier things have happened. We thought the Bucs were going to get blown out by the Lions, and
yeah.
Happens. So, you know, the Bucs are a weird team. They've been really, really good this year. So, but regardless, you know, they're 4-2, going to 4-3, losing to the Ravens, not a big deal. 4-3, I think if you told me they were going to be 4-3 in the first seven games, I'd be really excited. That's a really solid start for the Bucs, and they're in prime position to win this division, regardless of the outcome of this weekend's game. So wanted to end on a positive note, because that's kind of a negative Nancy way of looking at things for both of us being unanimous and the Bucs losing. But hopefully we're coming back at you next week with a Bucs victory. Hopefully both Musab and myself are wrong. That would be a lot of fun. But regardless, hope y'all have fun watching this game. Hope y'all are doing all right. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. And if you liked what you heard, you can give us a like or a subscribe wherever you're listening to us, and give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports, so you can keep updated with the content that we've got coming out across the channel, because we've got some great stuff. So as always, thank you so much for listening. From Musab Tariq, my co-host, and myself, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.